But there's hope in the form of IF. An article in Age, Durter, a journal out of the Netherlands, reported that some research has shown that intermittent fasting actually halted mental decline in rats, even the older ones, who were already showing signs of deterioration. Another benefit that intermittent fasting has for the brain is in treatment of seizures due to epilepsy. Preliminary research is ongoing, but several studies have shown that children and adults who suffer from epilepsy experienced a lower number of episodes after fasting. Some of them had a reduction by as much as 99% when they hadn't had much success with medication. Intermittent fasting may help prevent Alzheimer's disease. Even though we've discussed it in other sections, Alzheimer's disease is such a troubling topic that it deserves a section of its own. Alzheimer's, a neurodegenerative disease that starts out slowly and gets progressively worse as the patient gets older, is the main force behind 60 to 70% of all cases of dementia. Although people who typically suffer from the disease are seniors who have reached 65 years of age or older, a small percentage of younger people have been known to develop the disease. It's a devastating problem, not just for the person who develops the disease, but also for loved ones who must assume the role of caregiver. Early symptoms of Alzheimer's are mild, mostly some memory loss. But as the disease progresses, it becomes more and more difficult to function in simple daily activities. A person can live anywhere from 4 to 20 years with the disease after they demonstrate visible symptoms. The average survival time is 8 years. At this point, there is no cure, although some treatments have been developed to alleviate the symptoms and slow the deterioration process. That's why it is vital for people of any age to do anything they can to prevent its onset. Intermittent fasting is one simple lifestyle change that could accomplish that goal. One article published in the journal Aging reported a study of 10 patients who were suffering from different levels of cognitive dysfunction. They were placed on a protocol that included intermittent fasting, and after 3 to 6 months, there was a significant improvement in 9 out of 10 patients in the study group. The patient who did not respond successfully was already in late-stage Alzheimer's. This is a small study, but the results are unquestionably promising for potential prevention of Alzheimer's. Intermittent fasting can reduce the risk of some cancers. Since intermittent fasting works on so many levels of your metabolic system, some of these benefits may add another benefit, avoiding cancer. So far, most research involves animal studies, but the results definitely warrant more investigation via human studies. One particular study, reported by Bojan Kostevsky, MD, involved a particular classification of mice that have a tendency to develop lymphoma after a certain age. The fasting mice were fed every other day while a control group was allowed to feed at will. After 16 weeks, 33% of the feeding mice developed lymphomas, while none of the fasting mice did. While this is a good reason for mice to celebrate, we humans should reserve final judgment until human studies have shown similar results. But since we're all mammals, the chances look good. There is some good news for humans, however. Some studies have shown that human cancer patients have experienced reduced side effects from chemotherapy while fasting. Again, more studies must be done to support these findings, but there's every reason to be optimistic about intermittent fasting as a defense against cancer. Intermittent fasting can boost your spiritual side. Even when you're a gung-ho, all-in, totally enthusiastic practitioner of fasting, there is still an element of sacrifice to it. After all, you're giving up one of your standard worldly comforts, even if it is only temporary. As you pay less attention to food and all that goes with it, you naturally redirect your focus internally. In the early stages of fasting, there will likely be hunger pangs. But as your body becomes accustomed to the changes you're asking it to make, you will find a quiet place within to connect with the universe. You will notice that you feel lighter in body and in spirit. If you choose to meditate or pray, you will be more focused and less distracted by things of the physical world. Your intellect will become sharper, and you will also be more intuitive and insightful. Spirituality is a personal thing, so you may experience a closer relationship with your Creator, or you may find a better understanding of your fellow man. In any case, you will feel a deeper consciousness and contentment because you are more able to let go of your worldly burdens. Intermittent fasting can help build character. Hopefully, you're not scoffing in disbelief at this idea, because it's actually true. IF can reach into your inner consciousness and pull out positive traits that will make you a better person. The development of self-discipline is obvious. It takes plenty of self-control to ignore the hunger pangs and stay with the program until it's time to break the fast. But many people who fast believe that they have developed greater empathy and compassion. When you think about it, it makes sense. Technically, you are making a sacrifice, and you may be suffering a little bit by making it. This experience can help you better understand the suffering of others. As more research is conducted on intermittent fasting, more benefits and potential benefits are discovered. But even without the scientific research, there are actual practitioners who swear that some form of intermittent fasting has transformed their lives. Celebrities like Beyoncé and Hugh Jackman and others have followed some form of IF. It has even become a kind of subculture in Silicon Valley, where tech execs claim they have lost weight and gained mental clarity and increased focus. Many of them even report feeling euphoric while on the fast. Research into this phenomenon continues, and hopefully science will soon support all the anecdotal evidence of the benefits of intermittent fasting. Until then, there will continue to be mixed messages from the health community and the public. The science behind intermittent fasting. Although fasting of any kind has been around for centuries, it is only recently that scientific research has begun to ask and answer questions about its effects. We are slowly beginning to understand what happens to our bodies when we fast, and the effects fasting has on our systems. We've already discussed some of these processes in an earlier section, but now it's time to get into a little more detail. The first thing your body does when you abstain from taking in any calories is change your hormone levels so that it can continue getting fuel for energy. After about 12 hours of a fast, the glucose you had been getting from food is depleted. As your glucose levels drop, your pancreas doesn't need to produce insulin to keep your blood sugar level under control. Insulin is the hormone that your body uses to process glucose and keep your blood sugar under control. It's an essential component for you to assimilate the food you eat, because too much glucose in your system is toxic. When your insulin levels are lower, your store of body fat becomes more readily available. Once your body is no longer able to find glucose to use as fuel, it has to resort to the glycogen stores in your liver and muscles. Then, when all the glycogen has been consumed, it's time to turn to the fat stores. At this point, the fatty acids produce ketone bodies to provide energy for your brain and body. Another hormone that kicks into high gear when you fast is HGH, human growth hormone. The levels of this hormone can reach as high as 5 times their normal levels when you fast. This also helps in using up stored fat, but in addition, it will help prevent muscle loss and may even help you actually gain muscle in some cases. Studies of men over 60 also showed a slight reduction in bone loss and less thinning of the skin. Norepinephrine, or adrenaline, is another hormone that is affected when you fast. You may be aware of this stress hormone as the fight-or-flight hormone because it kicks in an extra boost of energy when you are faced with danger. One of its other functions is to communicate with your body to break down fat cells into fatty acids. When you fast, you get a boost of norepinephrine in your bloodstream, which means that you have more available fat to burn. As a side benefit, you will have improved focus. And then there's IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1. This is a hormone that supports the active growth of cells. While this seems like it would be a good thing for your body, and it is when you're young and growing, once you get older, IGF-1 can actually speed up the aging process, and some studies suggest that there is a connection between high IGF-1 levels and the development of cancers of the prostate, colon, and breast. Fasting reduces IGF-1 production so that your body can stay younger longer, and you will have a lower risk of cancer. There is also some evidence that indicates that these levels remain lower for a time after you break the fast. The lower IGF-1 levels applied to groups in a study that compared two groups who ate the same number of calories in a day. One group ate the calories in the traditional 3-meal pattern, while the other group fasted for 16 hours and then ate the calories within an 8-hour window. The group that fasted showed an appreciable difference in the lowering of IGF-1 levels, while the control group saw no difference. One of the biggest obstacles to controlling hunger during a fast or any other calorie-restricting diet is the hormone ghrelin, also known as the hunger hormone. When you have gone without food for a certain period of time, ghrelin kicks in and tells your brain that you must eat now. This feeling is very strong, as ghrelin levels increase in the beginning of a fast. But most people are able to keep the hunger under control by drinking fluids. However, if you absolutely can't handle the hunger pangs and you feel terrible, there's nothing wrong with admitting that fasting may not be for you. That's the downside of ghrelin. But there is an upside to having increased levels of ghrelin in your system. If you can overcome the hunger pangs that ghrelin produces, you will be able to reap the rewards of its other effects. Ghrelin facilitates the release of HGH, which we talked about earlier. But it also augments the effects of dopamine, which will work in your brain to give you a feeling of well-being and improve your mood. Ghrelin is also an important factor in maintaining healthy neurons in your brain, specifically the hippocampus, to improve memory and other cognitive function. Aside from hormonal activity, there are two processes that involve keeping the body's cells healthy and strong: autophagy, which was mentioned earlier, and apoptosis. These are normal processes in the body, but they move rather slowly. Fasting accelerates these processes to different degrees, depending on factors unique to an individual. Apoptosis is the process that seeks out aging, deteriorating cells that are no longer viable, and may actually lead to conditions like allergies, autoimmune disorders, and in some cases, even conditions like multiple sclerosis. When these cells are identified by markers, the body destroys the entire cell, like demolishing a house, breaking them down into amino acids that the body can use for fuel. This action gets a boost during a longer fast after about 3 days or so. Autophagy, on the other hand, can rev up as early as 12 hours into a fast. This process targets the cells that may be full of toxins, viruses, bacteria, deteriorated proteins, and other trash, and it clears them out. That's more like spring cleaning, leaving the house intact. The longer the duration of the fast, the cleaner the house. In both of these instances, the body burns the undesirable debris for fuel. When you go back to consuming calories, the processes slow back down because your body no longer needs to work so hard to fuel itself. Depending on what state your body is in as you begin to fast, the time it takes for autophagy to set in can vary. If you have a large supply of glycogen stored in your liver and muscles, it will take longer for the fuel to be consumed so that autophagy can begin. If you resume eating before the glycogen is depleted, autophagy won't initiate at all. On the other hand, if glycogen stores are relatively low, as they are in people who follow a diet with low carbohydrates, higher fats, and just the right amount of protein, like a ketogenic diet, you may already be burning ketones for fuel, and there won't be very much glycogen, so autophagy will kick in earlier. If you have a diet with a high amount of starches, sugars, and other carbs, you may have to fast for 24 hours before you can benefit from autophagy. Going into a little more detail on this topic, both your body and your brain will benefit from the ketone activity that is triggered by both fasting and a ketogenic diet. In fact, if the brain had a choice, it would rather use ketones for fuel instead of glucose. Another scientific aspect to consider in intermittent fasting is the body's natural circadian rhythms. These rhythms are the 24-hour cycle of processes that affect our body's sleeping and waking cycles in response to the cycle of daylight and darkness, as well as the changing temperatures of the seasons. These factors were vital for our Paleolithic ancestors in their search for food, which was more available and easier to hunt during daylight hours, and more prevalent during certain seasons. The nutrition patterns that our ancestors established seem to have carried over to our modern times, and there is a different response to eating during the day and eating at night. A study conducted in 2013 involved assigning diets of 1,400 calories per day to women who were classified as overweight or obese. The women were randomly assigned to two groups that we'll call the breakfast bunch and the dinner divas. Breakfast or dinner would be the meals where each group would consume the greater portion of the day's 1,400 calories. The results were revealing. The breakfast bunch experienced greater weight loss than the dinner divas, in spite of the fact that both groups were taking in the same number of calories. Some experts say that one reason for this is the fact that we have more time to burn calories earlier in the day. But circadian rhythms also come into play. Most of our hormone secretion is impacted by our circadian rhythms and apparently the body's insulin response, which is a factor in weight gain, is greater in the evening. In the case of the divas, it was as much as 25 to 50% greater. The results of this study give credence to the theory that a hormone imbalance may be as much as or more of a factor in obesity than calorie consumption. This could also point to a link between night shift schedules and weight problems. Part 2. How to fast. Different intermittent fasting methods. Fasting is a broad term, even for scientists. It can mean going weeks with nothing but water, eating nothing but soup, or just skipping one meal in a day. There are many options when it comes to intermittent fasting, just as there are many personal preferences. Each of the following methods has its own protocol and varying degrees of benefits. The methods in this section all promise to lead to weight loss and health benefits. But the ultimate difference is how an individual can tolerate the restrictions in each method. Method 1. Time-restricted fasting, or the 16-8 method. This is the method that Martin Birkin promotes in his Lean Gains program. Time-restricted fasting is most appealing to people who find it difficult or impossible to go 24 hours or more without food. In this method, a person will generally fast for 16 hours and eat high-quality foods the other 8. It can also be modified to 12-12, 24, or other combinations. In many cases, simply skipping one meal a day does the trick. Since you have to sleep for 6 to 8 hours a night anyway, that counts as part of the fast, so those hours can be subtracted from the time of active fasting. So instead of fasting for 16 hours, subtract the 8 hours when you're asleep, and you're only really consciously depriving yourself of food for the remaining 8 hours. Your 16-hour fasting time could be from 8 p.m. to noon the next day. Or if you tend to feel hungrier in the morning, you might choose to eat a good breakfast and have your eating period from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. You don't have to limit the number of meals you eat during the 8 hours, but you should make sure that you're eating wholesome food, not junk. And you should try not to overstuff yourself in anticipation of the fasting period. If you have planned a workout during the day, your meal should be a bit higher in healthy carbs, not refined. If it's a low-energy day, your meal should include a little more healthy fats. During the fasting period, you cannot eat anything, but you should drink plenty of fluids. Mostly water is best, but you can also have black coffee, hot or iced tea, or other no-calorie beverages. Staying hydrated is just good practice, but it also helps to keep those hunger pangs from distracting you too much. It's also important to maintain a consistent schedule of fasting and eating times so that your hormones don't become disrupted. Method 2, the 2-meal-day method. This method, conceived by personal trainer Max Lowery, is very similar to the 16-8 diet. But its main focus is to have a specific number of meals in a day, rather than watching the clock and eating at will during a certain time window. The meals could be breakfast and lunch, or they could be lunch and dinner, but the point of this diet is to set a routine and stick to it. Max is also very involved in fitness training, and he agrees with other experts who recommend keeping carb intake higher on workout days and lower on resting days. Like the paleo diet and many others, he also recommends avoiding refined carbohydrates like white bread and pasta and substituting foods like quinoa, brown rice, and sweet potatoes to get your carbs. In addition, Max advocates going meatless for 3 days and always keeping hydrated by drinking plenty of fluids. The 2-meal-day method doesn't have any restrictions on alcohol, but it should be limited to 3 or 4 times a week. Method 3, the eat-stop-eat method. This is a 24-hour fast method that is intended to be carried out once or twice a week. In practice, you would eat dinner on day 1, then restrict yourself from having any food until dinner time on day 2. If you wanted to modify it, you could choose to fast between breakfast or lunch instead. Following the fasting period, you would resume normal eating patterns until the next stop day. No need to count calories, carbs, or fats. According to Brad Pilon, who is the developer of this method, you can even indulge in a little treat now and then, within reason, of course. Moderation is the only rule during the eating phase of this method. Eat, stop, eat is an effective method of weight loss for the simple fact that by cutting down your hours of eating, you are reducing your overall calories. Even people who tend to break a fast by pigging out would have a hard time replacing the calories they missed during a 24-hour fast. This method also calls for including a regular workout schedule with a focus on weight training to ensure muscle integrity. The Eat Stop Eat Fasting method is also designed to be flexible so that beginners can ease into it gradually. If 24 hours is overly difficult, you can just fast until you feel you must eat something or you will die. Be sure you're being honest with yourself, though. As your body begins to adjust and you progress toward more fasting days, you can gradually build up to the 24-hour fasting goal. It does take a lot of self-discipline to get through the entire 24 hours. Method 4, the 5-2 diet or modified fasting. Some people find this diet easier to stick to because the time for fasting does not completely restrict eating. This is a weekly cycle where you have two non-consecutive days, for example, Monday and Thursday, where you reduce your normal intake of calories to only 25% of your usual consumption. This means that women will eat about 500 calories and men will eat about 600. The calories can be consumed in one sitting, or they may be spread out over the day. On the other 5 days, you can follow a normal diet. Dr. Michael Mosley treated himself as a guinea pig on this program and experienced significant results in weight loss and health benefits. As a result, he wrote the best-selling book, The Fast Diet, to inform the public about the 5-2 diet and his personal experience. Dr. Mosley created this diet to be a permanent lifestyle change, but at some point, he discovered that his weight loss was continuing after he had reached his desired weight, so he modified his fasting schedule to 1 day out of 6. He says that if he gains a few pounds because of holiday splurging, he returns to the 5-2 protocol to take off the extra weight fast. Just as with other plans, whether it's a limited calorie fasting day or a normal calorie day, it's important to eat wholesome foods and only until you feel satisfied. You may not reach that point on a fasting day, but you can calm your hunger pangs to a degree. Binging or grabbing unhealthy junk food isn't good for anybody, and it may actually reverse any progress that you make. Although there is no list of approved foods that you can eat on a fasting day, or for that matter, on a feeding day, you should use good judgment and stick to wholesome foods. Eating junk food with empty calories can undermine any health benefits that you get from fasting. There's also no rule about when you should have your small meals. Some people must have something in their stomach to start off the day, so they might have a small breakfast, maybe an egg and a piece of fruit. Others may be perfectly satisfied to wait until later in the day to eat anything. In addition, some people feel the need to space out the allowed calories over 3 smaller meals, and others prefer to have a few more calories in 2 meals. This would be one case of intermittent fasting where you might find it necessary to keep track of calories. For best results, foods with a high protein as well as high fiber foods are the best choices for helping you to feel satisfied on fewer calories. Some good choices include eggs, yogurt, vegetables, fish, lean meat, poultry, soups, and berries. To drink, you can include plenty of water, black coffee, black, green, or herbal tea, or other zero-calorie beverages. If you must include diet soda, be sure to keep it to a minimum. Later on in this book, you will find some suggested meal plans that will help you plan. Method 5, alternate day fast, aka up day, down day. The alternate day fasting method is just what it sounds like. Fasting one day, feeding the next day, repeat and repeat, and so on. It basically takes the 5-2 method and adds one more fasting day so that it's a 4-3 program. Studies conducted on this method found that participants lost an average of 3 to 8% of their body weight within a period of 24 weeks with no decrease in metabolism. The up-day-down-day version of this program was developed by James Johnson, MD, and it's a modified version where you can eat up to 1/5 of your normal calories on a fasting day. That translates to only about 400 to 500 calories. Method 6. The Warrior Diet. Fitness guru Ori Hofmeckler developed this diet, which is not a true fast, but the calorie consumption for 20 hours of each day is strictly limited. During those 20 hours, you can eat only raw vegetables and fruit for most of the day, then have a substantial dinner within a 4-hour window. The emphasis on this diet is natural, unprocessed whole foods, similar to the paleo diet. This diet isn't necessarily targeted at weight loss, but it is intended to reduce fat and improve fitness levels, as well as provide some of the health benefits mentioned earlier. As a soldier or warrior in the Israeli army, Hofmeckler noticed that he and his friends functioned better when they did not eat very much during the time they were most active, the daytime, and reserved most of their calorie consumption to the time when the day's activities were finished and they could take it easy. In his experience, eating the 6 to 7 meals the army provided, plus snacks, actually made him more fatigued, both physically and mentally. When he did some research on the subject, he found that warriors from past armies had followed a pattern of eating less during the day and more in the evening. So the warrior diet was born. The warrior diet is basically a daily cycle of under-eating, where the warrior can eat small amounts of raw fruits or vegetables, some protein such as yogurt or fresh juice. This 20-hour under-eating period is followed by a 4-hour window in the evening in which you can eat a substantial meal of wholesome food. You should start off by having vegetables, some protein, and some good fats. If you still feel hungry, you can then add some more carbohydrates. The main principle of the diet depends more on human instinct than control. Rather than having strict rules to follow regarding calories, fats, or carbohydrates, you listen to your body and eat accordingly. An important component of the under-eating phase includes an exercise regimen that Hofmeckler calls controlled fatigue training, or CFT. This means that exercise occurs during the time that you are calorie deprived and may already be feeling fatigue. Hofmeckler maintains that this type of exercise activates the genes we have inherited from our caveman ancestors, who had to hunt, run, or fight when their energy levels were not at their highest level. This method carries a bit more controversy with it than some of the other methods, but there are many practitioners who claim that it is just the right program for them. Method 7. Fat Loss Forever. In the Fat Loss Forever plan, John Romanello and Dan Goh wrote the book, literally. In fact, they published their program in 10 volumes called, what else? Fat Loss Forever. Roman, as Romanello prefers to be called, is a fitness expert and author. And Dan, also a fitness expert, is well known internationally as a fitness boot camp instructor. Together, they conceive the notion of combining all the best factors of warrior diet, eat, stop, eat, and lean gains into one unified program, and then threw in a cheat day. The cheat day is an incentive to get ready for the 36-hour fast that follows. And then the next 3 days each have different fasting procedures. The result is a 12-week program of nutrition and exercise that aims at helping to burn fat faster than traditional diets and keep you at your ideal weight and health level for the rest of your life. This program requires more attention to detail than some of the others, since each day of the week has a different protocol. This type of regimented structure helps some people to stay focused and on track. On the other hand, others may find the schedule a bit confusing. The program has that covered, though, with the inclusion of a planning calendar that specifies the exercise and eating patterns for each day. Method 8, the Crescendo Method. This method was developed in recognition of the fact that some women, especially women of reproductive age, experience hormonal and fertility problems with intermittent fasting. This method allows women to gradually ease into the practice of fasting so that they avoid any hormone disruption. You never fast on consecutive days on this program, and the fasting window is 12 to 16 hours. For some people, following a prescribed program is too much of a burden, and they find their own ways to practice intermittent fasting. They feel that they are already in tune with their bodies, so they may just randomly skip a meal or two every now and then. Some people even go for a day or two every few weeks without eating. This illustrates how intermittent fasting is a very personal mission. One important thing to remember is this. Although fasting reduces appetite for most people, this is not a permanent change. If you stop fasting for more than a few days, your appetite will return and you'll be back where you started. Fasting for general health. Although fasting has been around for centuries, it has only recently become very popular among the modern masses. And one reason for this is its reputed and proven effects on overall health. We've touched on how fasting helps with epileptic seizures, and many studies are being conducted to discover whether there is an effect on people with multiple sclerosis. But intermittent fasting also seems to help a wide array of general health problems. Before you get the wrong idea, this is not a cure for these ailments. Intermittent fasting is a tool to greater health. It merely provides the digestive system an opportunity to rest from the task of dealing with the almost constant assault of food, healthy or unhealthy, that needs to be digested and assimilated. This is a huge job for our body. It's estimated that our digestive organs require as much as 65% of the body's energy resources just to process a heavy meal. Without that kind of demand, the body has a chance to recalibrate and switch on the physician within. Words of Paracelsus, Swiss scientist from the Middle Ages, so that it can begin to heal itself. As you fast, your body experiences distinct transformations. At first, there may be uncomfortable side effects, such as weakness, fatigue, lightheadedness, and headaches. But these should disappear once your body becomes accustomed to the new routine. Then the magic begins to happen. Aches and pains may disappear. Energy levels begin to soar. Skin issues will improve. And you'll just feel better. But healing doesn't stop there. As you make intermittent fasting a lifestyle practice, you may see improvement in so many areas, significant and minor. In some cases, the conditions may actually disappear. But don't expect miraculous results after you practice the 8-16 method for 5 days and then go back to your old habits. It takes consistency over the long haul to reap the benefits, and sometimes, depending on the condition, it requires a fast of longer duration to achieve the best outcome. The list below illustrates many of the conditions that can benefit to one degree or another from intermittent fasting. As you can see, there is encouragement and hope for just about any human ailment, physical or mental. Digestive disorders, ulcerative colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, inflammatory bowel disease, cardiopulmonary disorders, atherosclerosis, high blood pressure, heart disease, high cholesterol, musculoskeletal disorders, arthritis, joint pain, rheumatoid arthritis, bone density loss, osteoporosis, skin disorders, acne, eczema, psoriasis, wrinkles, psychological and nervous system disorders, anxiety, tension, depression, addiction and substance abuse, hyperactivity, chronic fatigue, headaches, insomnia, respiratory disorders, asthma, hay fever, sinusitis, hormonal disorders, diabetes, PMS, uterine fibroids, autoimmune disease, hypoglycemia. If help with all of these disorders isn't enough, intermittent fasting also strengthens the immune system with the result that it may lower your chances of catching a cold, the flu, or other infections. In many fasting studies, mostly involving animals at this point, there have been some forms of cancer that have shown a significant decrease. Of course, it bears repeating that everyone is different, and none of these improvements is guaranteed for every individual. But most people who fast will find that they benefit from a general improvement in health. Fasting for weight loss. Although most fans of intermittent fasting have all kinds of praise for intermittent fasting and the way it makes them feel, there is one benefit that seems to be mentioned more than anything else, and that is how easy and fast it is to lose weight when on any of the methods. There are always some, though, who will say it didn't work or it made them feel miserable. They'll show up here and there on a blog or a review and say that intermittent fasting was the biggest mistake they ever made. It's good to get their input. It's a good illustration of just how personal every situation is. It's also possible that these people didn't do something right. But these critics are in a minority. The modern definition of being overweight is having a body mass index, or BMI, of 25 to 29. This number is used in determining whether a person has metabolic syndrome, a hodgepodge of symptoms that indicate less than ideal health. If your BMI hits 30 or higher, you're considered obese. Anyone whose BMI is lower than 18.5 is considered underweight, and fasting is probably not a good idea. You need two numbers to determine your BMI: your weight in pounds and your height in inches. Then you multiply your pounds by 703 and you find your inches squared. Then you divide pounds by inches and the result is your BMI. If math has never been your strong suit, you can also find BMI calculators online. Although intermittent fasting is not a goof-proof way to lose weight and keep it off, it is a great tool for pointing you in the right direction. It's really up to you how well the tool will work. If you don't have the commitment to really change your behavior and your lifestyle, you will not see the results you're looking for. The good news is that sticking to a fasting protocol actually helps you pay attention to all the aspects of your life, including your weight and your eating habits. You'll get a new perspective, empowering you to realign your focus and broaden your outlook, so that making the right choices becomes second nature. If you carry too much fat around with you, your body is telling you that even if you're only eating healthy food, you're eating too many calories. Intermittent fasting helps you to cut down on calories overall, as long as you don't overcompensate during the periods you're allowed to eat. Studies have shown that people on some type of intermittent fasting regimen have reduced their weight anywhere from 3 to 8% over a 3 to 24 week period. That amounted to anywhere from 1 to slightly over 1.5 pounds per week. There was evidence that the loss included belly fat because their waist measurements went down 4 to 7%. You may hear stories of people who lost amazing amounts of weight instantly, like 4 pounds in a day, every day. But these stories, while inspiring, can't be true. While some people may experience more impressive weight loss than others, the more gradual, steady losses are more typical. Even if they are on an extended fast, they have to eat sometime, and some of the weight is bound to come back. As with most diets, fasting weight loss is faster and more dramatic in the first stages, but it levels off pretty quickly. You may lose nothing for a day or two, and some days you might even gain a pound or two. People who carry larger amounts of excess weight will see faster progress. There's also the question of metabolism. If your metabolism is slow, the weight will come off slowly, but it will come off. Regaining some weight when the fast is over is due to some water weight that occurs when we increase our salt consumption as we go back to eating regular food. This can be a disappointment if you're keeping your eye on the scale all the time. Some people who don't understand how natural this is will even get frustrated and give up and go back to overeating. It's a good idea to restrict scale watching to once a week, but even then, don't allow a slowdown to discourage you. Over the long haul, simply engaging in the practice of fasting to lose weight creates more of an awareness of your body's response to real hunger or imagined hunger. Making the right decisions about food will become more organic and won't be influenced by external factors like sights, smells, and advertising. As you begin to understand your eating habits, you will be better able to control them, and you can make the lifestyle changes that will keep you at your ideal weight for a lifetime. Then, if you want to continue to enjoy the benefits of fasting, you can continue as needed. Fasting for muscle gain. People, especially men, who are interested in building muscle are often skeptical about intermittent fasting, holding on to the belief that they will lose muscle along with fat. It's true that an extended fast will ultimately lead to the breakdown of muscle tissue, but if you keep your fasting period short, as in the 16-8 diet, you will still be able to benefit from muscle gain, as long as you follow a few other basic requirements. The formula for gaining muscle starts out basically in the same way as the formula for gaining fat. If you take in more calories than you burn, your body will convert them to both fat and lean protein mass, which is muscle. But for the best muscle gain, your calorie consumption should include enough protein for muscle building, and you must include an exercise regimen that includes weight training. In the grand scheme of things, fasting is probably not the most effective way to gain muscle mass. Historically, most weight loss plans result in muscle loss as well as fat loss. But some research does show that resistance training can limit or prevent the loss of muscle. The research in this area is limited because more interest has been focused on the other benefits of fasting, particularly weight loss. Even so, there are a few studies, some which actually focus on